10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Edition of Let's Talk on Saturday. Man, y'all know I don't do any shows on Saturday, but it's okay. It's okay. We're going to do a Saturday show today because we got a special guest in the house with us, and we'll be getting to that pretty shortly here. All right, y'all. Once again, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host. Microphone fail. I'm your host, Eric Jackson, and we have an outstanding show for you. With the title of today's show is Relationships, Conflicts, and Resolutions. And we really want to have us a good time. Now, if you want to join in the conversation, you just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Join me in my chat room. Then you have to just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Eric Jackson 62. And just come on and talk to us. Just sign into your Facebook or MySpace, whatever you use. And join us in the chat room. We have some outstanding conversations there as well. Okay, now before we get any further into the show, of course, y'all know I have to give my little disclaimer out. All right? This show is an adult show. And sometimes in the heat of conversation, things are said that may seem a little harsh, or for those that's sensitive, you know, offensive to you. Well, we're not trying to offend anyone, but however, as I said before, we are an adult show, so I do apologize now for anything that may be said that may offend anyone. All right. Yes, we're getting rolling here. We're getting rolling. All right. Now, with that being said, there's also a couple of other things I want to get out here before we bring our guest on. And, man, I'm telling you, I am so excited about this guest. I'm just trying to help and get through these little preliminary things, all right? Now, on Let's Talk, we do encourage open dialogue, and we like to hear everybody's opinion. There's no doubt about that. But before we – I mean, we got to please respect everyone else's time when they speak, okay? In other words, do not talk over each other. That's very irritating, and no one's response or ideas or thoughts are heard. Okay? And also, please make your comments and responses as short as possible and to the point. You know, we don't need no long, drawn out, you know, examples or anything. Just say what you got to say and be through with it. And no personal attacks are allowed, none whatsoever. We are adults. We should act as adults, and let's conduct ourselves in that way. Okay? Now, the final thing is, if any of these guidelines are violated, I will not hesitate to tase you. And for my regulars, they know what I mean when I say tase you. But for anybody else new to the show, I will mute you. Okay? Okay? Now, that's out of the way. Let's get on with the get on. All right? So let's talk, y'all. Now, once again, today, the special edition of Let's Talk, our topic is relationships, conflicts, and resolutions. Now, over the course of the last few months, we've discussed many problems that men and women face on a daily basis regarding relationships. Well, on today's show, hopefully we can recommend a few solutions to those problems. And, I mean, we have really talked about some major, 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 major problems. But hopefully today we're going to get that taken care of. I know my regulars are going to be in, and they're ready for some solutions because that's all we talk about. All right. Now, I would like to welcome a special guest today. She is a best-selling, award-winning wordsmith, former print model, and founder of the Grand Prairie African American Authors Showcase. Is one of the co-founding members of the first ever National Christian Book Signing Ensemble, the Anointed Authors on Tour, and launched Queen V Publishing with a friend and literary colleague. Valerie L. Coleman assists aspiring writers to become published authors. She served 3 years as contributor ministry partner at FaithMate.com, an online dating community for Christian singles, and has conducted and been featured at a variety of seminars, conferences on writing and life skills. Now, she has a novel to be released in March called Chocolate. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you, not the Vivi Monroe Congress.
Thank you so much. Wow, that was a mouthful.
I know.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Our pleasure, without a doubt. Oh, Lord, I know that was a mouthful, wasn't it?
It was indeed. And can I just say, I love your intro music. I think that was mystical back in the day.
Yeah, that was mystical back in the day.
Oh, yeah, a lot of head bobbing.
No, yeah, you know, you got to get hyped for the show. Got to get hyped for the show.
There you go.
Okay, so Dr. Congress, is it okay to call you Dr. Congress or Vivi?
Or... It is.
Okay.
I go by all. I'm good.
By all. Okay. Well, once again, thank you for joining us today here on Let's Talk, you know, and we're really excited about having you. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization.
Well, the one thing that I wanted to just add or correct was that the novel coming out in March is actually entitled No Condemnation, and it's the first part of a three-book series, the Just No series. And each one has, of course, begins with no. No condemnation, no conditions, and no conviction. All of those titles kind of play into the whole general theme of the series, which is no. You know, it's a small word, but it carries a lot of oomph to it. And the biggest of those being that, you know, we live our lives many times up under the umbrella of no. We restrict ourselves from living full, complete, and joyful lives because we say no, or we allow the no's from other people to impact our decisions from day to day. So, that series is basically intended to liberate and to help others, readers, to find their joy in saying yes to themselves. So I'm excited. It comes out in March 13th.
March 13th. All right.
Yes, sir.
That's outstanding. Now, and we also have a special surprise for the listeners and the callers. What's going to happen is we're going to give away one of her books, okay? But... it's just a code word known by me and her. So once I let you know when it is, we don't know who it's going to be or when we're going to do it, but we'll let you know. So I hope y'all ready for that. Also, in your description, I heard, I read that you said you was a wordsmith. Can you explain to the listeners what that is?
To be honest with you, that was a moniker given to me by my business partner, Val Coleman. And it really is a high compliment for anybody in the literary arena. If I had to describe myself as a wordsmith, I would say it's because I tend to be all-consuming when it comes to putting words together. In my spirit and in my mind and heart, I hear there's a certain flow, there's a certain rhythm and order to words for them to have the biggest impact and influence in a reader's mind to cause transition and transformation. So I don't just write ABC. You know, if ABC does not sound right to me or does not feel right, you know, I write it, I read it, I even speak it out loud. It has to actually fall in right with all three of those areas in my sphere. And if it doesn't, to me, that's what makes the wordsmith. You know, it's not just writing the word is a certain artistry, a certain chemistry that goes in with words because they do carry such power with them. And I don't take that power lightly.
Oh, okay. So I like the way you put that. That it just the way you saying it just invokes power. It just sounds like a lot of power that you have.
Well, good.
So how has the process of writing brought changes into your personal and professional life?
It has, and that's a good question. It really has. I've actually been in the writing game for a little while. I was influenced. I've always written, I think, but I just didn't take it seriously enough as a craft or as a possible business venture. But I've always written, and it was that one gift that you just kind of overlook because it's just that, it's that one thing I do, you don't think anything of it. Well, right. A lady came to me one day and said, I think you need to write a book. And as it so happened, I was already working and putting some things together and, just all fell in line. So that's really how that came to be. And as far as it changes me, what I have found is that every time I do write, either before or after the work has been completed or published, I go through a type of metamorphosis, if you will. I have to actually experience that thing I write, and I guess that's just, God at work. He wants authenticity in my writing, I feel. So how else can I write if I don't know that of which I write? So I'm very careful about what I write because that means I got to go through it too.
That's true. That's true. And somebody's going to go call you out on it anyway if you don't be careful.
Oh, you know it. You already know.
Yes. So for those out there that may be, going through the same things, just writing as you used to, what advice could you give them? Can you give them as far as, keep the making it?
As far as the writing craft of writing itself, I would say, get in where you fit in as far as writing groups are concerned. Don't be too attached to your work that you can't release it to others to review or to critique or to show you how, and areas of improvement. That's the only way that you really grow as a writer, and you want to grow because you don't want, your stuff just to sit on the shelf or someone to pick it up and just toss to the side. You want that person that's going to look at that book, read it, and hold it close to their chest like their life depends on it. Like, man, I got something from this. Wow, this was good. Wow, this meant a lot. That they walk away with something. So the only true way is to hone your craft. So whether that's conventions, seminars, what have you, get in the game. Learn what you're doing. Look at some of your refined authors and see, tap into their writing style, see if it works for you, tweak what doesn't, but continually grow.
All right. That's some outstanding advice. So I hope you potential writers out there, hope y'all writing, taking some notes because that's some good advice right there. All right, y'all. Once again, we want to thank you for joining us today and for this special edition of Let's Talk. And as a special guest, we have Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress with us. And to join in the conversation, you can give us a call at 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at Jordan4FORLife62. Or just drop on my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And leave us a note. And let us know, what's going on and what you'd like to hear on the show. Before we get to taking questions, how can they contact you, get in touch with you? I guess that's the best way of saying it.
Okay, of course. You're more than welcome to visit my website, drvivimonroecongress.com. I'm also on Facebook, and who in the world is not? Facebook.com/DocVMC.
All right. Yeah, we'll. For those that missed it, we'll give it to you one more time before we let Dr. Congress get on out of here. All right. Well, what we're going to do now, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for those that may have any questions for Dr. Congress. And while we're waiting on that, Benny, I'm going to say welcome to Benny out there in the chat room. I see you, brother. That's one of my regulars, so I have to say hello to them. Well, while we're waiting on that, Dr. Congress, let's talk about some things, okay? To break the ice, okay. Earlier this week, I did an informed question out there. And I guess, being that you are a woman, I guess I would have to ask you your opinion on this first. Okay, would you would you date or marry a guy who would who makes less than you did?
Yes, certainly.
Certainly.
I mean, because I like to believe. I would like to believe. And there are some you know branches out there that stem from that. But yeah, I would not want to hold that against a good man just because mm-hmm. he happens to make less than me. His the doors may not have opened for him that opened for me. But with what we have combined in terms of finances, in terms of emotions, in terms of what we feed into and from each other, I could not let that stand in the way of happiness.
All right. All right. That's a good one. That is a good one. I
mean,
like that.
And even more so, is he willing to share the little that he has? That's the biggest thing.
That's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if he doesn't make as much and he's stingy, I mean, you know, oh, God, no. We got a problem.
See, there's a problem there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay, let's see. There was a couple of responses I got was, I would date and marry a man who made less, but it depends on if he has goals. Sometimes what we make, we can't control due to the industry. However, I do have a problem if they are content with no intent to grow. If we are talking a $800 a month job and he's a grown man, then Houston, we have a problem. So.
Like I said, there are, you know, there are extenders, there are branches, and there's a lot of feeders into that. It just depends. But again, I would not let that stop me from getting to know him as
mm-hmm.
a person. And in that getting to know him, I found out why he's making less than me. Again, it could be because he has reached a point in his life where, you know, he might need that encouragement that comes from a woman. He may need that cheerleading section that comes from his woman. But if he's the type of person that no matter what's coming in his direction, he's just, like she said, content, or he doesn't manage well, he doesn't have any heart to manage well, then that's different. That's a different set of guidelines, but I wouldn't let it keep me from dating or getting to know him.
Oh, okay. We have a question coming to you out of the chat room. Say, but what if she had to shoulder the greater part of the financial burden?
Well, that's the thing. There are seasons and, you know, times in any relationship where that could be the case on either side. You know, and it's not always 50-50. So if you get into a relationship or a marriage and you expect that, you are in for a grand and rude awakening. You know, relationships and people go through seasons. What if he gets sick? What if you get sick? You know, anything can happen. So you got to be prepared to lock on and say, okay, I got this part. So if I take care of the money part, you take care of this. You know, you work it out.
Okay.
But I'm not a relationship expert. I'm just giving you my
well,
opinion.
You know, like we was talking off the air earlier, you know, a couple of days this week, none of us here are. We just want to try to find some solutions to, you know, the grand problem that men and women have as far as dating and relationships or things of that
right.
nature.
Right.
As far as your books, are there any such situations in your book that you write?
Oh, boy. There's a lot of situations in this book. And a lot of them hinge on, which is, you know, the big catalyst in life, relationships. I've got people from different walks, you know, age groups. I've got 20-year-olds. I've got 60-year-olds who are finding love for the first time. I'm having to go through the challenges that come with that. You know, I've got a scoundrel who is making a mockery of love. His opportunity to love somebody from a pure place. But he's not ready. She is. So I look at relationships and love from different aspects in this book. The biggest to be find out who you are. You know, find who you are and what completes your circle of life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, wow. Man, I tell you. All right, y'all, the phone lines are open. If you have any questions for Dr. Congress, once again, 347-838-8622. All right. Now, as far as your personal belief, what do you believe is some of the major issues facing men and women as far as relationships today?
You know what? From what I can see, it seems to be intolerance. You know, nobody has the time or the level of tolerance that was reflected in yesteryear. When you look at couples that have been together for very, very, very long time, you know, it's so easy now in our age and time of disposable this and, you know, disposable that, you know, even relationships are disposable. It takes a while to get to know, you know, to peel off the layers of someone, and I don't think that we have the patience and put in the work to do that anymore, because it's so easy to find somebody that you think is, quote, unquote, ready-made and suitable for you, only to find out they got layers too. You are no better off with that than you were with what you had.
All right. You know what? I agree with that. I really do. I agree with that. So, you know, I don't know where my callers at, because usually they be on top of things. So I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to ask you the questions. That I know what they're doing. They're listening. See, they're trying to catch you. But anyway, well, hold on. Hold on. I do see I have one caller coming in. So.
All right, caller.
All right. Good afternoon, young. Let's talk. May I have your name? What's on your mind?
Well, good afternoon, Erica. This is Antonio. I had a question concerning relationships.
Okay, Antonio. I think me and Dr. Congress, I think we may be able to help you out with it. Go ahead, go right ahead.
Well, I just wanted to know. Oh, how are you doing? How are you doing? Good afternoon, man.
Good, and you, Antonio. Thank you.
I just wanted to know, do you feel that a good relationship, particularly, let me say this. Do you think that the more alike that two people are, the better the relationship as far as financial, cultural, and things of that sort?
Eric, you want to take that or you want me to start?
I'll let you go ahead and take that one first.
I think that there have to be, of course, some core similarities on approach. I don't think that you always have to be the same. Of course, naturally, we feel that the closer that you are to being the same in some of those areas, you have a better chance. But then you have that whole group that believes, and actually some that found it on opposite things, you know, the way of the world. I mean, I don't see that. That's not my personal belief. But to me, with being opposite of somebody, you have more challenges. But the more challenges you have in that relationship, sometimes that evokes more passion. So, I don't know, you can have the best of both worlds or both. So I think it just kind of depends on the individual, you know, and where they're able to meet.
Right, right. And I also would like to add, you know, sometimes when you first notice that person, usually it is something that y'all have in common that would draw you toward them, you know, nine times out of ten. You know, now once you actually get to know that person better, how strong it is, I don't know, because Christians have this thing called being equally yoked, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know about how equally yoked you need to be, but, you know, once you get into once you get into the relationship, okay, there's going to be some things that y'all will like together, and some things you're not going to like about them, they're not going to like about you. Now, the bottom line is, how much of it are you willing, as Dr. Congress said earlier, are you willing to tolerate as far as the relationship goes? I mean, if the things are minor to you and you can tolerate it, then, you know, go for it, man. But as far as being totally alike, I don't see that working. Because then there's no way for either of you to learn anything, because you're just completely alike.
Exactly.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, like for example, what about issues concerning, let's say, one wants a child and the other one doesn't. Should that really be, can that be an obstacle for two to be together, or is that something that one can work out, or...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dr. Congress. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, that's pretty huge. That's a pretty huge chunk. I mean, because, you know, a child can bring so many wonderful things, challenges as well, to the bond that you already have, being two. One of the, a couple of the things that I was thinking while you two were talking is that even though you may not see the eye to eye or be or think alike on certain levels like finances, this, that, and the other, some of the higher things that you want to look at and agree upon is respect. Respect, mm-hmm. communication. You know, right, you may feel it's okay to you know, just have this job, this type of job. I may feel I want to aspire to that. But if we have that grounding or that equally yoked mentality of respect, I respect you as a person. I respect how you feel about that, and you respect how I feel. I think you have a big chance of success. Now, as far as a child is concerned, it's better to get that, you know, on lay that kind of thing on the table before, because you don't want to fight after the child is here. You don't want that resentment and that child senses or feels that. So that's something to really, really weigh out and hash out. I think that it's big enough. It warrants a conversation. It warrants maybe to babysit even or to see if there's an open door for the party that doesn't want or believes they don't want, you know, to voice their the reasons. Maybe there's a fear. Maybe there's something that they can't just come out and say because they don't know it. They haven't recognized it themselves. Counseling, I think, is probably good.
All right. I agree with the majority of what Dr. Congress said. Well, you know, and the point I really do agree with, that's a hard one, man. That really is. However, before, I think that's a conversation that the two of you need to have before you get into anything really, really serious.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? Because if you don't, you take that can tear up a relationship from the bottom. You know, no matter how much you have built it, you know, that can just tear down the foundation. And now you have a very big problem because you have two people fighting each other. So I think that's a conversation that needs to be had. And not just one time, over and over again. So there's a complete understanding of how each of you feel. And then I will give you the options that you may need to make your decision whether you want to stay in a relationship or move on.
All right, yeah. Thank you very much. That's all I had to say. Thanks.
Okay, no problem.
Well,
I'm telling you. All right, I see I have another call on the line. And let's see who we have here. Good afternoon, you're on Let's Talk. Your name?
Guess who this is.
Okay, this is Joe, Dr. Congress, one of my regulars.
Hi,
Joe. Say
hello. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Congress.
All right, Joe. I know you have questions, so go right ahead.
Don't worry, Eric. I've been warned.
I know.
Well, I thought that the doctor was going to be an expert, but she already said that she's not an expert on relationship, that she had written a novel. I thought that she had written a psychological manual about how to solve relationship problems, the conflicts and resolutions. But the reason why I came on was because Antonio had brought up a question. And that's a very, very important question because I believe the law should keep its ugly nose out of people's relationships. Now, when it comes to a baby, for example, I believe that a man and a woman should make their own contract regardless of what the law in that state is. So if the man and the woman state to each other and even put it in writing that if she becomes pregnant, because the man has already said, I do not want a baby. And if she says, I don't want a baby either, and if they both agree that if she becomes pregnant, that she gets an abortion, but now she changes her mind, the state steps in and says, well, the man has nothing to do with that baby anymore. It's only her decision. And they don't allow these types of agreements. I believe that if a man and a woman make an agreement, that they should abide by the agreement, and the woman should get an abortion. So, I'm throwing that out there, and I'd like to find out what the response would be from both of you.
Okay, well, her phone must have disconnected, so, okay. I take it. Well, Joe, you know, we done had this conversation over and over and over again.
Nah, and, I don't know.
Well,
about
you don't think so?
Well,
you know what? You know, as far as the state being involved, I don't think the state should have anything to do with if you and that special that someone has actually if you and that special someone has actually sat down and made this disagreement,
mm-hmm.
then you should honor that agreement.
Well, that's
now,
what I say. Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, you threw that little twist in there. As all of a sudden, she wants to have a baby. All of a sudden.
Oh, well, that's right.
So then, you know, that creates a whole nother issue altogether.
Yep.
So what if the guy himself says, okay, I can go with this? Then that just, I guess, kills that contract completely.
Well, according to the laws in every state, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess the bottom line is it would be dependent on the two individuals that's involved.
Well, it can't. Okay.
You can't?
I
think
no,
so?
It can't because you can't have that type of contract. But I don't want to answer it for the doctor. If she comes back on the line, I'd be glad to hear, you know, her particular opinion about it.
Well, she's here.
Okay.
I'm here. I got lost. My signal broke, so sorry about that. The last part I got was about the contract, of course, and if there's a breach in that contract that the party who breached it, and I think from what I gathered, you were saying it was the female, that she should have an abortion. I guess I'm curious why the abortion? Why not adoption? Why not another option?
Well, because they said to each other they didn't want to have a baby.
Mm-hmm. Right, they said it, but it happened.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious, why was abortion the option? They could still not have a baby together if the child was put up for adoption and neither one would be responsible.
Well, because that would cause complications. The woman already wants to have the baby. So she's saying, now I've changed my mind, she's putting in that little obstacle. So I wanted to find out, you know, what your opinion would be.
Well, that's a good one because I've never heard of such a contract, and I guess it wouldn't sound to me like it would be something that the state would honor. I don't know, but then again, the world is changing at such a gunfire rapid pace, so it wouldn't surprise me if laws were instituted for that. But I would say, with or without a contract, it's always disheartening if you and I had a pact, made an agreement, came to terms with what we thought, and then one of us turned tail or turned coat and just said, you know, no, I changed my mind. And when it deals with a child, that's when it really gets sticky and icky because it's unfortunate because that child bears the brunt of that. I would say whoever decides in the opposite way against what you and I originally decided, then it would seem to me if the child is here, is on its way, you decided you want a child, you care for it. You take care of it.
Okay. Now, since I'm one of Eric's regular callers, I'm going to restrain myself.
That's fine.
You're going to restrain yourself?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Joe. I know you have more questions. Go right ahead.
No, actually, since I found out that she was written a novel as opposed to an advice manual of types, mm-hmm. then I would just listen.
Well, I mean, Joe, you know, as I always say, you know, we always say, why not get a quality woman on the show? So now we have a quality woman on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you know what, Joe, even if someone had written a manual, as you put it, or something statistical, their bearing or their slant is still going to be just that.
Yeah. The thing is, though, is that Eric's, he's named us the council.
Yeah, I heard.
We ask some pretty raw questions and get into some pretty raw discussions. And if you're not prepared for it, mm-hmm. you'd be up against a couple of people at least that would appear to just tear you apart. But I would rather not do it since you are the guest. You have you have a book to promote, and the kind of questions that I could ask and the follow-up comments could appear to be like that of trying to attack. So I would rather just restrain myself right now, unless you want to come back, not as an author, just as a friend of Eric, just as a woman with an opinion. That would be cool. But right now, this is a business that you're engaging in with Eric. You're here to promote the book. He's here to promote you. Like I said, he's already warned us. And not to be insulting or anything, but, you know, we can ask questions that are very, very raw. So I would rather not do it, unless you want to come back just as, not as Dr. Congress, but as just as a woman, you know, who might just want to call in and just participate in the show. Then you can find out exactly how we do it. But right now, I'd rather just skip it.
Okay, Joe, let me bring Lo in.
Okay.
Right, Lo is great, too. All right, Lo. Dr. Congress, this is another one of my regulars, N.O. Lo. And Lo, say hello to Dr. Congress.
Hello, Dr. Congress. How you doing? Hello, VP.
I'm great. How are you doing?
Hey, Lo.
Well, thank you. Hey, what's up, Joe? What's up, brother? How you doing? What's going on? E, how you doing, bro?
Not bad. How about you?
Oh, I'm well, man. I'm getting ready for Mardi Gras tomorrow, and it's Tuesday, and I'm outstanding. I'm outstanding. Just sit back listening, and Joe, would you please stop?
See?
That's a grown woman, man. Ask her what you want. Ask her a question.
Thank you.
If you want to know, hey, you ask for a quality woman to come on the show. You get a quality woman, and now all of a sudden, well, I'd like to say this, but I want to be nice. She already gave you her disclaimer. Hey, say what you want to say.
No.
And by her acknowledging at the beginning, oh, yeah, that was mystical, I guarantee you if she needs to, she'll get you told. So, hey, go ahead and ask your questions.
Thank you, Lo. I can handle myself. But, you know,
that's the wrong woman,
Joe,
man. That woman,
you. Mm-hmm. Hey. That's okay. I'll wait for another time. You can always come back, Dr. Congress.
But that's Eric's fault. That's not yours, I think. Eric has to invite me. Eric may not want me back after today.
No. He'll want you back.
Mm-hmm. It kind of sounds like Joe would rather have the lady that can't handle herself, that doesn't have herself together, on so he can run her through the ringer.
Nope. It is sort of a professional courtesy. She's here to fulfill a function. I'm here to make sure that, you know, everything's cool.
Okay. Dr. Congress.
Okay.
Let's say you met him. You see a man in a restaurant that you're very attracted to. Now, would you approach him, or would you just wait and get time and see if he approaches you?
That's a good question. That's a very good question, because you know what? I'm from the school of thought that men pursue, but you know what? Sometimes men have to know or have to see an open door. They have to be able to know that you're approachable. So if I saw that man there, I would make sure that all the key components were there, that I gave the body language, the eye signal, that, hey, it's okay. Can I come to you? Can you come to me? Can we just kind of meet in the middle? You know, because I'm feeling you, and I think you might be feeling me. But I don't think I would just run up on him and run after. But I would definitely for sure make sure, you know, all the obstacles were removed, so he had no excuses for coming to me.
That's your answer?
I would say that's part of my answer, yeah. That's enough
of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that you know what, that question always opens a lot of doors. And one door that it opens is, why would you have to, you know, like you said, give the eye signals and all of this? And why wouldn't you just go up and say, hey, you know, I'd like to introduce myself to you? What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. No, there's nothing wrong. You asked if I would do it. There's nothing
wrong
with the next lady.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off, but, you know.
No, go ahead.
What would you see that would hold you back from doing that? And see, that's actually one of the questions that Joe kind of wanted to go around to, because there is a plethora of other things he would have gotten into after that one. So, you know, actually, you know, why would you want that man to automatically, well, to assume, hey, well, you know, it's safe for me to go there, as opposing to you going ahead? And, you know, you're a renowned lady, so what would hold you back to approaching this man yourself, you know, you specifically?
Right, and I can only speak for me specifically.
Right.
Because of my level of, what I want to say, shyness maybe? My level of shyness, that's what would hold me back.
Uh-huh.
As far as the next woman who would, you know, I'm not saying it's an, you know, don't do it. It's not something that should be done. I think it should, but to each one, you know, according to what they're able to do. I particularly am not, I can smile and I can speak if the opportunity, but just to go up to you, tap you on your shoulder and say, hey, excuse me, I saw you sitting here, and my name's in that's probably not going to be how I roll anyway.
Mm.
It would make me terribly uncomfortable, and I would be out of my element, out of my zone, and would come across as some ditz. So I don't, you know, that's how I feel it would come across if I did it, because it would be unnatural for me.
Okay, well, I understand that, and let's put it in the scenario that, okay, you and this guy have met and you decided to go on a date.
Mm-hmm.
Would there be anything to hold you back on the first date as far as going Dutch, or actually you saying, hey, you know, I got to check? Is there anything that would hold that back, or would you have in the back of your mind on reserve, you know, well, it's kind of the guy's place to do this, you know?
No, I wouldn't say so. I don't think it's anybody's place. I would believe that, and I have invited people to go out. If I invite you, if I extend the offer, the invitation, and say, hey, would you like to join me? As a matter of fact, it was a man that I was dating not too long ago, and I wanted to go to a concert and said, hey, you know, what are you doing this night? Would you mind? Would you care? Do you like this artist? Would you be interested? And he was shocked. Yeah. I said, okay, well, guess what? I'll go ahead and get the tickets, and I'll give you the details later. So that's not an issue for me. So if you could send an invitation to me, yeah,
okay.
I would think that you would pay, unless
okay.
you cleared it beforehand and said it's Dutch.
Okay.
So
okay.
wait a minute.
Go ahead, Joe.
So you would say to the guy, would you like to go to the concert? He says yes. And then you say, well, I'll pick up the tickets. And then who buys the tickets? Who finally buys the tickets?
I bought them.
Okay.
I bought them initially and finally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there's other things that I would like to talk about. But, again, you're on a book tour. So, again, when you come back, when you're not on the book tour.
You see, Joe tiptoeing right now. That's what
mm-hmm.
it is.
I'm always on a book tour.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, you don't always have to be in the book tour.
Well, Dr. Carnes, let me ask you a question. Basically, on the questions that you've been asked on the show, can you recall anything close to this scenario in any of your books that you've written?
Close to what exactly?
A woman approaching a man, or a woman picking up the check more than just once or twice, things like that.
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, in the book that I'm promoting now, Joe, one of my primary characters, Trinae, she's a hairdresser, and her man is a womanizer, basically. She puts the tab on everything. He drives her car. She feeds him. She clothes him. He's in and out of jobs. So I guess that would be a yes. And she thinks she's happy.
She thinks she's happy?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
That's the we call it the baby boy syndrome. You know?
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
A term started here.
Right. And it's actually true to life. I mean, it's the movie incarnate, because you see it everywhere, you know.
Yes, you do.
But as far as your books, you know, because I do like to read, you know, fiction and nonfiction. So where would you put yourself in the lines of someone like, I don't know, like Eric Jerome Dickey or even Terry McMillan, someone like that, you know, as far as I've even read all of Michael Basin's books, and, you know, I'm a fan of his, but I don't like the way his dialogue tends to go. But, you know, where would you put yourself along the lines of the way they write? Is it the normal, okay, well, you have a guy that's trying to do well, and he wind up having sex with a girl, and she got pregnant, and now he has a baby's mama, and it's the drama, and, you know. Where did your books fall in line to those scenarios?
I think the element to a lot of books hinges on entertainment, and that's probably why mine is a little different. I mean, you got to have some drama. You got to have some peaks and some valleys. My books, as far as I see them, is a little bit different, and it's especially different for me because I came from a nonfiction background where it was more or less self-help, that type of thing. These novels, very earthy, characters that are true to life as far as I'm concerned. They have some mountains to scale, but it's up to each one. Are they happy where they are? You know, do you aspire to more? And if you do, how are you going to get there? I mean, yes, you love this man who really doesn't love you the way you love him. He doesn't have any goals. He's not trying to do anything better for himself or for you. Are you okay to be in that? And if so, that's your thing. Live with it. Deal with it. Don't complain about it. But if you're not, what are you going to do to change that? So I think with your Terry McMillans and your Eric, great authors, great writers, I think that there is an industry standard that has to be followed. You have to have a certain ebb and flow to your writing to qualify, quote unquote. And I'm kind of not doing that. I'm kind of doing my own thing.
Oh, so you're kind of breaking away from the mold.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Because I think there are no true molds in life.
Right. Now, as far as your books are concerned, would your books be more, and I see this everywhere, and I have to say it, but do your books fall in line with the norm as far as, you know, you have the regular people in the book, and even in television, you have all these people, and then you have this one guy or girl that, you know, that they're kind of confused, as it were, as far as, you know, who they are or whatever the case may be, just to throw a twist in the whole movie or book, whatever, you know. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm not sure if I get it. Say it one more time.
Okay. You, from listening from the beginning, you were part of a Christian-based dating. Okay. Now, with that being said, as far as your book would go, does your book have does it promote or does it include homosexuality?
Not this one.
Oh, okay.
Not this one, but the one out of the series will. It's so funny you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that, why?
Because, you know, this just goes along my personal beliefs.
Uh-huh.
You know, it, as far as, you know, for a person to acknowledge that they have been in the realm of a Christian-based relationship building structure, you know, and if you throw the Christian portion in there, then that says, hey, you know, I'm kind of going by what the laws of the Bible say. So with that being said, would you include the things that the Bible go against and promote them, you know?
I wouldn't say that I would promote them. I put them on the table to explore them, to explore and to gauge. If you say you're a Christian and you have this homosexual coworker, who has never wronged you, as a matter of fact, has helped you out of a few binds at work, would you hold their lifestyle against them? And does your Christianity or whatever religious base you have, does it speak against the higher element of love above all things? I mean, how do you know that you wouldn't win that person, their affection, their faith in what you believe by not by implementing what it is your faith stands for? So I, even though, you know, it's out there, it's not in a position to say, hey, this is okay, this is not, I don't judge. In my writing, I don't, the basis is not to judge unless you're judging yourself. What is it that I truly stand for? What is it that I truly walk in? What kind of life am I truly trying to live here?
Okay, that's good. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. I was curious about that because, you know, you see so many contradicting things, you know, especially in society now, you know. You say that you stand on these morals and values, but, you know, everything
right.
else that you do shows different, you know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
That was just...
I think
yeah.
it goes back to even when President Obama took his stand, you know, for gay marriage. You had your churches, the state, and, you know, different sides, the sex just divided and just, you know, just up in arms about that whole decision. When, to me, it may not have hinged on his personal belief at all. You know, you have to look at it. It was probably a political positioning. It probably had a lot of other undertones to it than we know. But he got a lot of flack and backlash because he made that decision. But who are we to tell the next person who and who not to love? The law of the Bible and the law of the land speaks to them, and they have to interpret that according to their own internal measures. So judge not and be not judged.
See, I like that. Hey, Joe, you still going to be quiet?
Yep.
All right, Joe, next time.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm waiting for. See, right now, figuratively, you've got your hair up, you've got your mascara on, you've got your promo dress on, you're here to do the book tour. The next time, you should just come with a sweatshirt and jeans and let it all hang out because this is the... Okay, because you saw the interview with Sarah Palin, right, when she was going on that vice presidential tour.
I don't really watch her.
Huh? Yeah, she really don't watch.
Okay, you're aware of how the kind of heat that Sarah Palin took when she was interviewed by Katie Couric and by, I forget, Guy Gibson, right? The guy named Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's worse on this show. So unless you're willing to take the heat, it's best that, you know, since you're on the book tour, like I said, I'll just keep quiet. But anytime,
so where are you from?
Where am I from? Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, well, we have another call on the line. Let's take this call. We're going to get Joe started eventually.
Eric, you already warned me. You know how the show goes.
Good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. Can we have your name, please?
Melinda.
Hello, Linda. How are you doing
today? Hey, Linda. Hi.
Okay, Linda. What questions do you have or comments would you like to add?
Okay. I'd like to start off with one question. I'm young. And I'm legally young. I mean, I have identification and a birth certificate to prove it. I'm only 28. The question I want to ask, because so many young black women, such as myself, were in a position where, you know, it's unavoidable for us to, you know, avoid asking other people for help. Specifically, 9 times out of 10, there's going to be a man with some sort of power over this young female individual who wants more than just to help her. He wants something for himself. But the conflict I see here with this older male and this younger female, myself being the example, she doesn't want any sexual relations with this older man. So in return, the older male will not help this female. He will actually tell her negative things. It's like, older men, specifically older African-American men, are bitter when they're rejected, no matter what the ratio of age is. Like, they view, in my experience, African-American men, older men specifically, view everything, I would guess, as an entitlement. Like, say if somebody, such as myself, has no resources, no friends, no outlets, no programs, and supposedly this person is the pastor in a church or whatever. We're going to say pastor in a church because 9 times out of 10, it's the pastor in the church. So you ask for somebody for help, and, you know, they give you all types of body language in terms of that they want to have sexual relations. And, you know, you look at this older male and you think, oh, no, sir, it's not like that. I'm coming to your church in order to ask for resources and help, but yet you're trying to sleep with me. Why is it that older African-American men have a problem with younger females that reject them, you know, when they offer sexual favors in return for their help, which in return you come to find out that they really don't have, you know, the information that you seek anyways? Eric?
Wow, that is a whole mouthful right there. Okay. Well, let's see. How can I put this? And wait a minute, what do you consider old? I mean, I'd have to ask that question.
Old is somebody 49 and up.
Wow, Joe.
When they've crossed the 48 bridge, that's old for me. That is way too old.
That's way too old. Okay.
That's old.
Eric, could I please?
Okay.
Ma'am, I'll be honest. I don't know what your name is, but I'm going to tell you like this. If you're 28 years old, you are not as young as you think you are. Because
trust me.
Our
hair grays when we in our 40s, so I know I'm not old. I have no gray hair anywhere. Not old.
Listen, please. And I will answer your question. Actually, I had a guy that grew up right next door to me when I was growing up, and I was like 17. This boy was like 13, and his hair was already turning gray. So, you know, let's get past the super
genetics.
Okay, either, whatever you want to call it. But if you have passed 25 years of age, you're almost 30. So as far as, you know, you're thinking along the lines of...
Can I stop you right there and just ask this question? Because somebody in the chat room had said something. They said churchmen do this all the time. They prey on young women in a church who have no man, and they know that.
And you know what, though, Linda? I'm sorry, Lo. I ain't mean to interrupt you, bro. But you know what? That is not unusual, you know. Now, being someone who grew up in the church, I mean, when I say grew up in the church, I actually know exactly what you're talking about. Now, my honest recommendation to you: roll, girl, roll. You know, fine. Because you know, if the longer you stay there, the worse it's going to be. And actually, when I say the worse it's going to be, the worse you're going to begin to feel. You know, you're not. If you're going to church, you're going to get empowerment and hear the word, but you're not going to be thinking about that because you got that old geezer always bothering you. You understand?
Well, let's make it.
It's not just the church dudes, though. It's like.
Let's make.
But why would you have programs at church? Why would you have programs at outlets and churches and stuff like that where young women, like young single, you know, mothers go there and enjoy the word of God and hopefully, you know, gain a outer spectrum of support system, and you got to have this old dude, like really, like
because,
you said, like shadowing
because,
you and
okay.
burdening you for sex. Like, that's
because,
crazy.
Because you have the money. You have
no,
power.
No, she has nothing.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
Now your name's Linda, right?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I know we'll wake him up eventually.
Yeah,
go
well,
ahead,
she's not on a book tour. So,
All right, Joe, keep playing.
So you've gone to church to talk to this pastor, and you're sure that he wants you for sex, right?
He doesn't just want me for sex. He does this to all young girls. Like, this is why half of the young community don't go to church, specifically young females, because they
okay,
don't want to have
asking,
sex with the
hold
pastor.
Hold on, Linda. You've gone to church to see this guy. You know for sure this guy wants you for sex. He's told you or he's let you know definitively, if it was body language, by maybe grabbing your shoulders, maybe drawing you into him, that he wants you for sex.
Yep.
Okay. if this guy was not a pastor, I would have a different line of questioning. But since the guy is a pastor, he's violating his particular oath to the church. As Eric and Enlo have already said, you've got to go. You've just got to leave him alone, because if the guy is after you for that, he's not a very, very good representative of whatever denomination he's trying to represent. I thought you were talking about some, you know, like maybe a businessman, something like that. But if the guy is a church pastor, the guy's no good. I mean, no matter how attracted he may be to you, he still can't violate his particular oath. He has to resist the temptation.
Attractive? I'm not attracted to old guys. And, no, you mean how attracted he is to me or any of my friends who went there that were single mothers and they tried to go get the word of God, maybe, you know, some outlets, they would come back to me and say, girl, don't you know this guy was trying to, you know, fill up on me? And I was like, he tried to do that to me too, but I did not send you there just to, you know, do that and see if he would do it to you.
Right,
but now
that
I know he did it to her, he's doing it to all the girls. And this is why none of us go to church, any of the churches in our neighborhood, because all the men in our
all the pastors are men.
Are yeah,
like that?
And they all like that. Yeah.
Wait
it's
a minute,
crazy.
Wait a minute. Okay, wait. All right. First off, I said
you live in Atlanta.
You. Okay. So I'm not talking about your being attracted to him. He is attracted to you, okay? But now how many of these pastors have you and your girlfriends gone to get this collective opinion that all the pastors are trying to get laid?
Let me tell you, it's not even, like, it don't even stop there. My mom, like, I told my mom was like, all right, I'm going to church with y'all next Sunday. I'm going to act like I got, you know, resources I need to go get. So when it comes to an older woman, he tried, you know, be on his best behavior,
Linda,
be all regular.
Was,
so my mom don't believe me.
Linda, how many of these pastors in the neighborhood or any place
all
that
of
you,
them, all of, the churches in my neighborhood, all of them. I don't know. It's a
you
bunch of
know.
Churches in my neighborhood. No.
Okay. All right.
Okay, well, wait, Joe. Wait. Now you have to be specific, because if you say all, then that's all of them.
All of them in the tri-state. That's in the Delaware State area.
All
doesn't
of
matter
them
if
in the tri-state.
If you go to Jersey, yes,
all of them.
I'm telling
okay, you're talking about the Northeast and
we went and we
visited
church to church to church to church to church, and I'm telling you, all of the pastors there, when we asked
when you
them
say
for
the
resources,
tri-state,
if they knew anything.
Linda, when you say the tri-state, what section of the country are you talking about?
Country?
What
you mean
of the country
in Philadelphia area, in the tri-state area in Philly.
Seaboard. All right. So that comprises how many cities?
All of the cities.
All
I mean, if
cities.
I could go to
Are
Jersey,
you,
all
okay.
of, from Jersey.
All right. Okay.
To Delaware.
So all
to Philadelphia. All of them. They are all nasty. They got all these nasty men in them.
Let me ask you a question. Are you on drugs?
Are you on drugs?
Okay, wait a minute. Before,
I'm asking.
But see, Joe, here's I mean, I'm
why do I have to be on
saying.
Drugs for me to turn down an older guy? Why does it have to be drugs?
No,
it's
no.
Church.
Wait a minute.
It's a church.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. All right.
No, I'm tired of answering questions because now y'all trying to be funny.
No,
I think somebody is offended. So this is all the weird, crazy questions. Am I on drugs? Like, for real?
I'm just asking, because you said all
in
the tri-state area.
If I was on drugs, I wouldn't have time to attend church. I'll be out taking a hit, or I'll be out in the alleyway trying to, you know, hit the pipe.
Linda, you're the one that said tri-state area. You brought in all the cities, and you brought in Jersey, Philadelphia.
Because you asked.
Do you know how many dozens, if not about 100 pastors that you're talking about, and all of them are hitting on you or your girlfriend?
Yes, all of them are hitting on me, my girlfriend. They don't do nothing when the older ladies come in and ask for help. It's always the young girls. So I'm trying to figure out when the younger girls go to church, or if they go to either one of the churches in our tri-state area, Philadelphia, Jersey, or Delaware, all these old, nasty, creepy, weird pastors are hitting on them. And they don't get the help they need because they're grossed out by this. They don't want to attend church. And this is sad because most of the girls in our neighborhood do need to attend church. It's healthy for us to go to church.
You're
this is all we know.
Absolutely right.
Okay. All right.
I don't feel comfortable sitting up here and looking up at that man who just tried to make a move on me. Like, for real, there is going to be no church.
Right.
Before I know I'm going to turn around, we can't go to church tomorrow because that's the only church in my neighborhood that's close by.
And you can't go to other churches because they're all going to do the same
thing. Because they all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you go to the other church, like the white church, they racist and they make you feel unwelcome.
All of them. I understand.
All right.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Joe. Stop.
Okay.
All right. Dr. Congress, being a woman,
yes.
do you have any advice for this young lady?
I was, you know, waiting for my
time. I think
again,
so, too.
But,
somebody in the chat room said he doesn't like the fact that I'm talking about older men. And I think I said that before. I think one of y'all feel offended because older men are attractive. Sometimes, you know, it's just not good to be attracted to young girls. Not all young girls promiscuous and are attracted to older guys.
Linda. Okay.
Could you
they're
please,
just not our thing.
Okay.
Hey, and I'm still 20. I mean, I'm not promiscuous.
20?
Like, oh, I'm almost 30. I might as well go get my thing on with some older pastor. Like, for real? Are you serious?
Hey,
Linda.
I kind of had a red flag when you came on. You said I'm young and I can prove it.
I am young. 28 is young, sweetie.
I understand.
I'm nowhere near 30. I don't
understand.
Have gray hairs. I don't have saggy skin.
Joe, hold up a second.
Wait. All right. I don't think everybody paid attention to what I said at the beginning of the show. We're not having this today. All
right.
Now, I asked Dr. Congress, did she have any advice for Linda? She said yes. So let's listen to Dr. Congress give Linda some advice.
Okay?
I wouldn't say it's advice. I just, you know, maybe some questions or just some input.
Okay.
This pastor or these pastors that you somehow keep running into, I just find it hard to believe that all of them, every now and then, yeah, there's a sprinkling of one or two good ones. And we know that that's the case. But master manipulators, you know, some men, whether they are clergy or not, they are master manipulators. They are attracted to what seems vulnerable. And if you come in with a need and you have expressed that need, you know, that could be a turn on to them. Oh, she needs me. And even if he's an older gentleman, you know, that's a whole other kit and caboodle right there. You know, he may be challenged by the fact that he is aging and he wants to prove his virility by doing this. Who knows? Who cares? But you come for a need. Who's to say at 28 that you can't find your resources elsewhere? Sure, you want the Word of God, but the Word of God is not only in the church. You know, you can sit down in a corner with a Bible, and that's the Word of God. There's so many, you know, on TV that, you know, you don't have to go to someone who's abusing, like Joe said, their authority, their positioning to get what they want when you're coming for something totally different. What are your resources? What are you after when you go to these churches, by the way, if I can ask that and not be too personal?
Thank you. Look, me and my family were all living in a house, right? And somebody was in our house, a visitor, who left a pot on the stove, and our house got burned down. So now I was just looking for, like, shelters and, like, Red Cross programs and stuff like that they could point me in a direction. And he was like, oh, I know an apartment. I'm like, I'm not looking for an apartment, sir. Just point me in a direction where, you know, a shelter might be or a Red Cross. So the guy just started touching my thigh, so I got up and I left. I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Like, it breaks my heart because I can't even go to my own neighborhood church and ask for help because each time I do, I don't know what they think I'm looking for. I'm not wearing anything provocative. I'm not talking in no specific way.
Right, and you don't even have to be. I can tell you that from experience. You don't have to wear anything provocative. You can come in a baseball bat and just look, you know, totally hood and tore down, and it could still come in your direction if that's what that person is after. But you have to find the wherewithal within yourself, which you did. You left, but don't continue to return. You know, even in churches, there should be some women's ministries that in your churches that are, I want to say, well-founded, would have women's ministries that would be able to, you know, cater to or address some of your needs. Without there having to be that male influence, because there's the boundaries that could be blurred or crossed, and you don't want them. But I would encourage you to just exercise your own wisdom. You have it. You know what's out there, and you know what they're after. So unless you're ready to trade vices with that, don't go. Is
Is everybody there? We all know.
That is a very some very good advice there. I'll you know, while you was talking, I was just thinking, you know, hey, go and get one of those old mothers of the church. I know they got the mother of the church or one of them deaconesses. I mean, I'm sure
that's
they can
right.
Speak in the right way, you know.
She can go to a nun. She can go to any other denomination. If you're for you want lenders, just help, and you're getting hit on by, you know, all the guys, why don't you go to a female? Is she still there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, she's still here. I mean, she may be doing something else. You know,
yeah.
While we're doing that, hey, y'all, I want to say welcome again to a special edition of Let's Talk today on Saturday. And to join in the conversation, I have a special guest host, Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress, with us. And to join in the conversation, 347-838-8622. Wow, that was interesting there. I mean, really.
Yeah, Dr. Ooh. Congress, come on back.
I will. You know, I will have to leave shortly, but I definitely will come back.
Good.
If Eric says I can.
Yeah.
Yes, of course you can. the show is open to you whenever you want to. That is no problem. Well, you know, Dr. Congress, I was thinking, I think just being on today's show, you may have some ideas for your next novel.
You know what? I'm already working on a character named Joe.
Yeah, you do that.
Wow.
Joe from Montana. Here, all the girls off.
Wow.
There you go.
Just a quick question for you, Doctor. How do I say this? Okay, I listened to that lady. And, you know, my thing is this. I didn't hear anywhere where there was any self-sufficiency there at all. You know, it's just I'm going looking for help. All of my friends are going looking for help. I mean, there is a place where that mold should be broken, you think, huh? I mean, to think outside of the box anyway.
Well,
if you can expound on that some, please.
I would have to agree. I would definitely have to agree. I mean, you have to stand on your own two feet at some point, and you have to be prepared to roll up your sleeves and find it for yourself. You know, yeah, you can ask for help. Never be too proud to ask and say, I need. But still exercise that wisdom, and women have that sixth sense. We know. We may downplay it. We may put it on mute a little bit. But we know that we know that we know when a man is looking at us a certain way, getting ready to step to us a certain way, we know it. And it's up to us to put up that barrier that wants to, well, you know, I only need to, I don't need to be here. We have to safeguard, you know, our own integrity, whatever it is that we treasure. So, yeah, if you go to a church, and like I mentioned to her, church is not the only resource. It's not. It's not the only resource for the Word of God. It is not. You know, there are others. I mean, if some people don't go to church and they still manage to live good lives and treat other people well, they don't necessarily have to do that by going into an established, you know, four walls to do that. Just the same as if you need resources for an apartment. You can thumb through the Yellow Pages. There are resources all over the place. What were you going to say?
I'm going to agree with both of you, but I'm also going to, and this may sound strange, but I was listening to it. I'm going to stick up for her in this particular aspect. She did say her apartment burned down. So
right.
If her apartment burned down, she had nothing to do and no place else to go but to what would be the logical choice for help. Now, that could have been some sort of government program, but also the church. So
right.
She does sound to me like possibly she's somebody who's always out there trying to look for a helping hand. But in that particular case, if her apartment did burn down, then I'm not going to blame her for going to church. But I'd like for her to come back so I can find out more about her situation.
Okay, so well, I agree. If your house burned down, yes, you're going to reach out. I understand that, too. But like I said, you don't have to reach in just one direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that one myself.
Yeah, let me know when you write that character, Dr. Congress, okay?
By all means.
names, because I'm going to need to fill in some blanks with you.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know if you want to do that. Well, okay. Well, Dr. Congress, let me ask you this question, and see if we can get started on this one. In your opinion now, what is one of the main ways to keep a relationship together? In your opinion, you know, what is one of the main ingredients or components that would keep a relationship together?
In one word, and I'm just going to throw this out.
Nice, see, and, I know it, the standard answer. Communication.
And one word, and I think I might shock you, Joe. I just might shock you. Intimacy. Intimacy.
Uh-huh.
It's a key component. To be so close to somebody without words, it's higher, it's deeper than words can expound to. That comes through time. Sometimes, if you're lucky enough in life, you run across it when you least expect it. But I think, in my opinion, as you put it, intimacy. And that's not just from the sexual standpoint. It's from another level that connects you at a heart level, a mental level, and below the belt level. If you have all three, you better hold on.
Well, yeah, if that's true.
Mm-hmm. When you can share who you are without having to mask it, without having to give excuses for it, for your past, your present, who you are, that's a lot. That's interesting. You know, when you can cry in front of somebody, you can laugh your ugliest laugh, you know, where you've got tears and things, and they still are there.
Mm-hmm.
You can share your secrets, your fears. You can't do that with everybody when you can actually put your guard down with somebody and be that intimate.
You know what?
Me?
And as long as we've been on the show, that's the first time I heard that one. And you know what? I'm feeling that right about now. I really am. I'm feeling that.
Yeah, she's on the show. You give her claps. I've been on the show for a couple about since you would start. I
Joe,
never got
Joe,
an ovation.
I give you claps every now and then,
I
too,
never
Joe.
Got an ovation.
All right, Joe, you got
it.
Come on, Lo. You know that. I never got an ovation.
I'm clapping for you, Joe.
Oh, okay, now everybody's clapping. Isn't that sweet?
Joe for president.
Yeah. Oh, I make a great president.
Wow.
I have a question for you, Doctor. My question is, and one of the colleagues that I know from the council, as it were, they feel that they would prefer to have a mate that's more in the lines of being a female carbon copy as to their self. So how do you go about that? How does one distinguish the two as far as saying, well, hey, you know, I'm still this individual and, you know, maybe my caliber of tolerance is higher than this person's, so, you know, they still can hold on to their individuality. How do you feel about that?
That you want somebody who's just like you, but
pretty much
gender different.
Hmm. Yes.
I guess I look at it sort of like pieces of a puzzle. I mean, the pieces aren't exactly the same, yet they snap into place without being the same. I think you want a counterpart that snaps and molds into you, but I don't think that they have to be the same to do that. And once those pieces interlock, you know, you get something beautiful out of it. But I don't think you have to, and I've thought the same thing myself, how wonderful it would be, oh, to have a man who was like me, but he was a man. Then he wouldn't be a man. He wouldn't be a man, and more than likely 9 out of 10 times, I would run all over him. I would despise him because he would not be his own person. He would be a reflection of me, and I don't want that.
You got to come back.
Go ahead. No, Joe, I'm going to ask your question right now, Joe. I'm about to ask your question.
No, I mean, she has to come back and sweatshirt.
Okay,
and
Dr. Congress, this is one of Joe's favorite questions that he likes to put out there. I'm going to ask you because I see it rolling around in his head when you said that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
relationship you married and your husband or boyfriend are treating you perfect. I mean, there's no issue whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the question. With him doing that, will you get bored?
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, wow. Everything's going smooth.
Yes.
Smooth as pie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
she's treating you like
a queen.
Yes.
Please. My blood pressure would be normal then. I would be in. I would be heaven on earth. No. You know what? And I think challenges and little snags here and there are there to help you grow. You know, you can't have a smooth mountain and climb it. You know, you got to have some ridges, that some things that stick out for you to put your foot on to go higher to the next level. And that's fine, and that's all well and good. But for me, oh, no. Queendom is what I aspire to. I want somebody to recognize what they have, to value what they have in me. Oh, no, I'm not going to rock the boat on that one.
And so, the man that you've got is a king.
Oh, he in the world would know it.
Okay.
And
yeah.
He left that front door. Like, oh, baby, you forgot your crown. Wait, let me put it on you. Let me make it straight on your head.
Okay, but yet you would run over the other man who would be more like you, except that he's not quite like you because he's a man. Okay. All right, look, you got to bring her
mm-hmm.
back. All right?
Joe.
All right,
Joe. I don't think it's
going to
be as easy as you think.
No, you think so. Look,
no, I don't
you're
think
not
you
on the
I
book tour.
I think you think it is.
If you're not on the book tour and you don't mind being archived, come on back.
No. Anyway, Dr. Congress, once again, we love having you on the show today, and I really thank
you.
I wish you didn't have
welcome.
To leave so early.
Yeah.
So go ahead and give us some more information on how to reach you and about your books that's coming up.
Okay, well, I must say I have enjoyed this just thoroughly. I really have, even the young lady calling, and I hope that works out for her. I can be reached through my website, which is drzvmonroecongress.com. And as I mentioned, I'm on Facebook as well, facebook.com/docvmc, using initials, and the same for Twitter. So any one of you that want to reach out to me at any time, feel free to do so. I have, of course, a newsletter, The Voice of Authority, emphasis on author in that word. Be sure to sign up for that because we have some fun things going on there as well. And, again, additional contests for this book that's releasing in March, which is No Condemnation. It can be gotten or pre-ordered on Amazon.com. And basically, that's it. I'm not a big heavy-duty promoter. I'm an artist. I like to write. I feel like that's what I'm called to do, and one of the few things in life that I'm good at. So I hope that you all will join me in this journey and get something out of it.
And you don't have
even
to
you,
be.
Joe.
You don't even have to be a guest. You can just call in and be your regular caller.
I'm going to do just that.
There you go.
You can put money on that, Joe.
Okay, now.
Lord have mercy. Okay,
so
Dr. Congress.
Are we
going
to do a contest?
Yeah,
you
I'll just see.
I'll just
yeah.
let you.
Yeah, we got to, let's see. We got to give the book away now. We got to give
I mean,
the book
even
away.
If I'm not here, you know, whenever you do it during your show, you just let me know.
Okay, all right, we can do that. That'll work. All right, gentlemen.
Well, you gentlemen.
Well, nice talking with you.
Nice to join. Lo, you got anything else you want to say before Dr. Congress can get out of here?
Oh, yeah. Hey, just continue doing what you're doing. And, hey, as long as you have that passion and that drive for it, it's going to be successful.
Thank you so much, Lo. And I appreciate that shout out to the mystical part. You caught that, huh? You know, I had that fist pounding up in the air. He's like, yeah, I heard that one in a minute. Wow.
And as long as you call back in any time, it'll be fun.
Joe, I promise you that. I promise. I'm going to sneak in when you least expect it.
Yeah.
but remember.
All right, fellas.
All right, take it easy.
Remember. Yeah.
Once again, we want to thank Dr. Congress for joining, hanging out with us. And don't forget, when a book comes out, I'll let y'all know about it. That's for dang on sure. All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye, Dr. Congress.
Take care.
All right. That's what I'm talking about, Jeff. All right, Joe. She's going to come back and get you, Joe. I'm just telling you. She's going to come back and get you.
Yeah,
she waited for you. She waited for you.
Yeah. All right.
See, Joe, she didn't give you the industry standard, so that was kind of different, eh?
No, she's on a book tour. I restrained myself. You know, she's going to have to promote a book. She's going to have to become public at some point. And she doesn't need, you know, somebody like me showing up on her promotional videos and promotional audios, which people can take a look at and say, "Doctor, isn't it true that that?" Nah, let her call back in. You know, again, figuratively, wearing a T-shirt and jeans, not minding what's going to happen, because you know what we do here. And then
we both know that controversy sells.
Well, if she doesn't mind controversy, like you're saying, we can give it to her.
All right. Anyway, let's see. We got 34 minutes left, gentlemen. So let's get to the nitty gritty of what we need to do here. All right.
You asked some good questions, Eric. You did.
Yeah, you asked some good questions.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good commentary, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, y'all making me blush now.
Yeah, well, go give yourself an ovation.
I think I'll do that. All right, Benny, man, thank you for joining today.
Here we go.
Okay, so what? All right, since I got two of the council members on the line, you know, what is some of the resolutions we can come up with, man, to make these things better? You know, in fact, before we say anything, I have a quote by George Carlin, you know, that I happened to find yesterday, and I thought it was so funny. I just have to read it to you. It said, "Here's all you need to know about men and women. Women are crazy, men are stupid. And the main reason women are crazy is because men are stupid." And that's by George Carlin.
Well, ordinarily, I like George Carlin, but I hope he elaborated on that.
No, that was it. That was his saying. And, you know, think about it, Joe. Kind of.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if he said that back in the 70s and 80s, he had a hell of a lot different mindset than he did when he was going around on his doing his concerts in the 90s and 2000s. Because it became more political in the last 10, 15 years.
But doesn't that, you know, if we think about the baby boy syndrome, the down low jokers, and no telling what else we got going on, that kind of makes a little bit of sense if you put a little credibility to it. What you think?
Well, like Lo was talking about the baby boy syndrome, because in her book, there's a character there where she's dressing him and she's providing. Why not? Men have been doing it for women the same way for centuries. Why can't she provide for this guy? What's wrong with it? See, a guy's looked upon as a loser, a gigolo, if he's being kept by a woman. Now, at the same time, he's being looked upon as somebody, you know, who's gotten over. But a man in this society, he always has to be the protector and the provider. Now, if some woman wants to take care of him the same way that the men have been taking care of women, by giving them clothes and jewelry and the house and a baby and the kitchen and everything, why can't she do the same thing without the man, you know, being thought of as a loser?
You know, but Joe, there's a difference between a man that, as in the question asked earlier in the show, you know, that's maybe not making as much financially as the woman, and, you know, yes, she has to step in and help him every now and then the baby boy syndrome, who just don't want to get up off his ass and do anything.
Well, if he doesn't, then why is she, if he doesn't and she still wants to provide for him, that's between him and her. If she's feeling bad about it, then she's got to get away from the situation. But if she's feeling good about it and she loves him and she wants to provide for him, why should anybody condemn it? As long as she's feeling okay. And there's another thing, too. I wanted to ask, what's her name? The doctor. Okay, because she was saying that, she doesn't really have a problem with the disparity in income, you know, if the guy isn't making as much money as her. But then she says, if he wants to be stingy. Now, if he's making $40,000 and she's making $100,000, he's got bills that he's pretty tight on. Why should he contribute to the same degree as she is? all of a sudden now, if he's not contributing to the same percentage as she is, he's stingy? See, I wanted to come back. I wanted to ask her about that. But then again,
okay.
You would have said, Joe,
no,
calm down, Joe.
She said,
Joe.
No, as long as you did it respectfully, she said she was open. All right, hold on. I got another call on the line. Let's see what they got to say. I'm 510. Welcome to the show today. Can we get your name, please?
Hi, this is Miss Lady. How you doing?
We doing fine, Miss Lady. What do you have to add to the show, ma'am?
It's like a broken record. These men whining about how come the women ain't paying, how come she can't provide. They're going against Mother Nature. It's not going to work. I keep saying that. They keep trying to rule over and change. How arrogant and egotistical is that? It's not going to happen. Women are made. I mean, it's part of our makeup. It's part of our nature to look to men to be providers and protectors. Now, they're not out slaying lions and dragons and bears, okay? But it's translated into a different type of protection and provision in this day and age. That's not going to change. No matter how much they shout out, no matter how much they demand, it's not going to change. A woman is not going to be attracted to a man who doesn't have certain characteristics. Bottom line, if they want that, then maybe they should just stick with each other. Because what they're trying to do is not going to work. Unless the woman has a whole lot of testosterone, and some women do, they have more masculine kind of biology, then they probably, you know, they'll be more masculine. But what they're trying to do is have women take on a masculine role. And that is not, it doesn't matter if she's making $1 million. She still doesn't want a weak man.
What is your definition of a weak man first?
Pardon?
What is your definition of a weak man?
A man who's whining and crying and looking for a woman to be the provider and protector of him.
Whining and crying. Oh, okay.
Whining and crying, and also shouting. You know, when people shout and call people names and they interrupt and they're disrespectful, they don't have control of themselves. They don't have control of their emotions or their mouths. That's weak.
Well, hi, I'm Miss Lady, and I come on this show to disrupt everything, and I've misunderstood everything the man have been talking about. That's me.
I tell you what, then. Exactly. Let me tell you something. If someone yells or shouts or whatever the case may be, they are only being emotional. That's the way they respond to things. Let me finish, please. I sit here and listen to everything that you said. Mm-hmm. You have politicians that will sit there and be cursed, spit on or spat on or whatever the case may be. They'll never utter a word. Does that not mean that on the inside they are furious?
There's a way to communicate, and when a man attacks a woman, all he can do is scream and shout over her and try to exert some kind of control and power and call her names, then that's weak. And the same thing with a woman. If all she can do is scream and call him derogatory names and be a bully, that's weak too.
When a woman misunderstands everything,
because that doesn't work. You know, a person who's enlightened, you know, and confident, and not they're not putting up with that. Nobody wants that.
Okay, have you finished?
Exactly.
All right. A weak woman is somebody who always misunderstands what men are talking about, no matter how clearly they say it.
That's being a woman, just like you don't understand.
Wait a minute. You're
going to
say, hold on a second. You're going to say that a woman who does misunderstand whatever a man is saying, that is not weak?
If she was a man, she would probably more understand, I'm not a man. I'm not supposed to understand exactly everything
I'm
you feel
talking about the definition
where you're
coming
of a
from. Weak woman. You're saying
a woman. That's your definition.
So hold on.
You're not listening.
That's your problem. You do not listen.
No, your problem is you're too arrogant and you think you have a man. Hold up, Joe, let me jump on this.
Ma'am,
you're trying to look for a woman to provide and protect.
Hold on,
lives.
hold on.
Get a masculine one, because a feminine woman is not going
you
to.
You have
ma'am,
to let.
Ma'am,
okay.
Please. I mean, I'm going to ask you, do you have a problem with the dialogue, or is it you're going to say
well,
what you want to say? When someone else is speaking, you're going to overshadow what they're saying. Do you have a problem with the dialogue?
You weren't saying the same behemoths. You weren't saying that to them the other week when I called in. Can we be fair here?
There's a guy that calls in all the time, and last night I wanted to call in, but you know what? I said to hell with calling in because I wasn't going to go through that. That's bullshit.
Is
this We're all
Eric
adults
talking?
Here.
I'm sorry. Is this Eric talking?
No, this is not Eric. This is N.O. Lowe talking. This is not Eric talking.
I don't know
no.
who. I'm sorry. I'm not really sure what's
we
going
don't,
on.
We don't know who any of us truly are on here, so, hey, I'm telling you who I am. And, hey, I don't have a problem with sitting and listening to someone else speak.
Well,
but
then
as soon
I got
as they start,
mixed up with someone
it,
else.
You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't speak on your situation, but I've been married for going on 12 years, and my relationship is fine. And, you know, I can say that because I understand that when I was wanting only to hear myself speak, it doesn't work like that. You can be that person, and you can ultimately be by yourself, too.
Oh, listen, exactly, and this is what I'm saying. These people that are down in that talk, I don't know his name, but it was another show. I was called the most derogatory names I've ever been called in my life. And, I mean, the things that they were saying were just despicable.
Well, you know, that's your opinion. You know, everyone has the right to their own opinion.
When
you're called
peas and then you're called, all kind of nasty things that are said, they don't know me. The things that they have said were horrendous. No woman would be attracted to anything coming out of a man's mouth like that. No woman in the world, right thinking woman.
That's all in your own opinion. I mean, you got these guys that are entertainers calling women bitches and hoes and everything under the sun.
I said right-thinking women.
Okay.
I said right-thinking women. It's not about money. Some people sacrifice money and trinkets for self-respect. I'm not one of them.
Okay, see, here's what we have right here going on. And actually, everyone is right. But basically, the bottom line right here right now going on, men and women just don't understand each other. And in the process of not understanding each other, the lines of communication get all garbled and twisted up to it's hard to untangle.
Well,
and
that's true, but
there are
people who willingly misunderstand.
Huh?
For example, she's saying that all we want to do, or I guess myself and Rich, all we want is a woman to protect and provide all the monetary resources.
Who said that?
Nobody said that.
Well, you
quote, give me, lady, give me a quote where I or Rich or anybody on this line said that what we want is a woman to protect, provide,
pay
all
the
bills.
I'm listening to you with Eric Jackson's show, and it's the same old thing. The women should step up to the man. If she should introduce, she should take him out. She should pay for the first date. I'm not buying her nothing. I'm not paying her for nothing. That's just ridiculous. I mean, it's
not
the
answering
same.
The question. You had made
I mean,
a statement.
You know, I'm just telling you, I don't write down the dates to that kind of
okay.
thing.
So in other words, you made statements you can't back
20,
up.
Listen, if you go to Eric Jackson's blog talk and listen to many shows, you'll hear you and Mr. Phone Call Solutions co-signed that foolishness. Talking about it over and over and over and over again.
Over and over that we want a woman to pay all the bills.
Oh, you want the woman to provide. You want her to pay for the first date. You want
it's
her
different
to step
than
up to you. You want
that
her to
we
be
want
the man.
Her, hold on.
You want her to be the man.
Lady.
And what I'm saying is.
Lady, you always
that's
interrupt.
Not going to happen.
You know what? I think, and I'm going to ask Lo, I'm going to ask Eric, have I not been listening? Have I not been in restraint? Especially with Lady right now?
Yes,
okay.
I will agree to that.
All right. So, Lady.
Have you never said that?
Lady,
never
you're going to have.
That?
Lady.
No, let's get to the facts. Forget. What, have you never said that?
Lady,
well,
you're going to have.
Let me
that's what I'm saying.
saying. I'm waiting. Hurry up. I'll wait.
Let me answer that for him. And I'm on the outside looking in. I always go back and listen to the shows that are archived. I have never heard Joe or Solutions. And, you know, me and Rich, we're not the best friends.
Well, you're not. You've never heard
can
of
I finish, can I finish? God damn. I have never heard either of them say, hey, I want you to do all of this and do it. I have heard them say, hey, I want you to pick up your load, put it on your shoulders, and carry it. Carry your load.
No, the problem is they want you to pick up. Well, our own load, but theirs too. When they're saying they want the women to approach the men to when they're attracted, approach the
what
men,
is the,
invite
is, what
them
is
out,
the
pay for the first
that?
Date.
My question, ma'am, what is the difference?
Me, have I ever paid for dates? And I told
What's
them
wrong with that?
I've never been asked to. And they had a problem with that. So listen, good luck. That's all I'm saying. Good luck.
No, you've got more to say, but the whole
bye.
Thing is.
I gotta go. Bye.
Well, please do. Take a hint and go.
She's what you call a stoker. You know, come in, get everything stirred up, and leave.
She just wants to stir up a controversy. She doesn't get attention. We didn't do shit
well,
to her.
Well, you know what, Joe? Actually,
yeah.
She did misquote you because I think you disagree with the solution on the part about a woman having to pay on
the
pay for
date.
The date.
Yeah. Oh, I know about paying. A woman should pay at least eventually. But the thing is, I do disagree with Rich about a woman has to approach a man. And and I've had this discussion with Rich before. And I've said if a girl like the doctor was talking about, you know, she wouldn't approach a man, you know, and she said it would make her feel uncomfortable. Yeah, she got fear of rejection. Women fear rejection. The thing is that if a woman is successful in getting men by just looking at them, smiling, without having to approach them directly, I don't have a problem with that as long as they get together. Rich has the problem with that. I don't. And about picking up the check, yeah, because men have been taken for their wallets for how many years now? They go out 3 or 4 or 5 times. The girl goes out with the guy. He's paying. He's picking her up. He's entertained. He bought the wine. He bought the food. He's bringing her back. And she's saying, well, thank you, but no thank you. So how is a guy supposed to know if he's really being liked for himself? Just have the girl pick up the check after about the second date or the third date. And that's it. It's a very simple solution. Then you know the girl likes you by picking up the check. She doesn't have to take you to a 5-star restaurant. She doesn't have to take you to a movie and a concert and do something else on the first date. Just get together and talk without people spending money, a lot of money on each other. That's all we're saying.
Yep, I understand that. And you know what? I have no problem with that myself. That makes a lot of sense. That really does. But on the same thing, I don't mind women, you know, approaching me. I really don't.
No, I think
it's kind of sexy if that's what she wants to do. But it's not a requirement, you know.
Exactly.
What I mean?
That's what I'm saying. If she wants to approach directly, fine. If she doesn't, if she wants to get to know a guy, and if she wants to do it by smiling or looking at him, fine. That's one of the things Rich and I disagree about.
You know, because I personally. You know, I sit back before I approach anybody and pay them and you know, check them out anyway. You know, see what they're all about before I approach. So, I mean, maybe there's women out there that do the same thing. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and nobody, I'm not even Rich, nobody's ever said that we want a woman to take care of us the exact same way that a man does, that she's got to pay all the bills, she's got to pick us up. I said it would be nice if a woman did that on a couple of dates. But as Enlo had said, all we want is just a woman to, you know, pick up her load.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, you know, as we were saying the other day, we want somebody just going to have our back when, you know, we may be functioning a little bit, have our back and pick us up, you know, carry it for a little while until we get back up and ride on.
Yeah, because who fucking needs a woman when you're going up? You know, on the way up, every broad wants to be there. You need a woman on the way down. If you've gotten unemployed or you've gotten fired because you got into a scrap with your boss and now the salary has gone from $100,000 down to zero, We want a woman to be there when we're trying to come back up. We don't want a woman to be around when she knows, you know what, in a couple of years he's going to be a doctor, he's going to be a lawyer. Let me help him through college because now he has an obligation to me. None of that bullshit. Okay? I want a woman there when I'm down in the troughs. I don't need a woman when I'm up there on the mountaintop.
Good point. Very good point.
No, you can't even argue with that, can you? And you know, most women say that's what they want, I would think. Well, I ain't going to say most.
That's not what they
hurt.
No, they say
that's what they want.
You know how they couch it? They say it the same way as the doctor said. Well, we're there to encourage you. Well, yeah, if you know we're going up, you're there to encourage us. Well, whoop-de-doo. You want to bask in our shadow as we're going up or as we're just about to arrive. Big deal. You've hitched your wagon to my star. Hitch it when I'm on the way down. Then you can give me the encouragement. Then you can give me support because that's what I needed. I don't need you to, you know, you ever notice like when a guy wins the lightweight championship, heavyweight championship, the girl or the mother dives into the ring to wrap her arms around him? Ever see a guy who's a loser ever have the girl going in the ring and wrap her arms around the loser?
You know,
nah, he just have a swollen up face. That's
yeah.
All.
You know what? That's a good one, Joe. You're absolutely right. That is a good one.
Same thing outside of the ring. You know, you don't need a chick there going, "Oh, baby, you made it, great, great. Let's go out tonight." You know, you need a girl to say, "Oh, baby, I'm sorry. You know, sorry you got fired. I'm sorry you've been looking for a job for months and you can't find it. Don't worry, we'll pick up the slack. If we have to cut back on the bills, we'll do it." That's what I want. I don't want a broad saying, "Yeah, you did it, you did it." I know I did it. What the fuck are you here for?
Now, Joe, I will have to agree with the doctor, though, because she did say, "Hey, you know, I don't want a man to be just like me, you know." So,
I don't think anybody wants anyone to be just like them.
Joe said he wants a female carbon copy of himself.
I said that I would marry me in a second. I said that in order to attract...
Go right ahead, Joe.
In order to attract the person that you want, be the person that you want. So if you are of a certain type, that's the type that you want to attract. So I've always said, if you want this particular type, be that type. But yeah, I want somebody just like me in female form. Because I know I can trust her. I know she knows exactly what I'm about. That's the kind of person I want. Now, she doesn't have to have... You know, or like she doesn't have to be like, for example, you know how twins are boy and girl twins, and she, you know, she's a carbon copy of him, he's a carbon copy of her. I don't need that. I need somebody mentally and psychologically and emotionally to be the same as me.
Well, yeah.
Well, damn, where does the individuality come in at?
Because she might have different interests. For example, women like the ballet or opera. I don't like opera, right? But I'll go to the opera with her, you know, and I won't even have to, after a while, I won't even have to, you know, make her go to the football game with me. But I, you know, so we have differences there, but when it comes to differences in values, no. Has to be the same.
Yeah, well, you know, I understand that. I mean, you know, my wife, she enjoys Lifetime. Me, hey, you know, throw a game on. You know, I'll enjoy a game or something. You know, hey, I understand that. But, you know, there are, when it comes down to handling business, we are, this is low and low. This is that thing. But, you know, as far as, you know, all things in another situation, hey, you know, I'm me and she's her. Hey, she went fishing with me before, and anything that I would like to do like that, she'll try some of it.
Yeah, or let's say she does some things on her own, you do things on your own, because neither one of you like the other's activities. I don't have a problem with people doing their own thing. I'll tell you a real-life example. I was dating this girl. She was smart, too, because when she was in high school, she used to do the homework on the bus, all right? So she had textbook smarts, and she had street smarts and all that good stuff. We were talking about going into business together. As soon as we started talking about it, all of a sudden she took the more submissive role, and she wanted me to do the planning and the strategizing and everything. Once I realized that was happening, she was going to take this backseat role, even though she had the mental capabilities, and she had some experience in some other stuff too. I said, nah, because she's just going to let me do the whole thing and just ride along with my coattail. So I just dismissed the idea of going into business together. Plus, it was some other thing that she said she was going to do, and she didn't do it. So, you know, you got to be careful who you have as a partner. And I've thought about, I guess you guys know, I've thought about this for years and years and years. For 20 years, I've been talking about male-female relationships. It easily, very easily can work. The thing is that people do not want to change their own faults.
Mm.
We all think we're perfect.
Mm.
All we got to do is just say, well, honey, what bothers you? The guy tells you, the girl tells you, and you say, you know what, I can't do that. For example, Lo, you were talking about you're a night, your wife is like nightline and nighttime, and you're sports. How about two TVs? If your programs are on at the same time, right? Instead of one sacrificing for the other, just buy two TVs. To me, that's a simple solution. A $500 investment in a new TV solves the problem. That particular problem.
I'll agree with that, but I mean, you know.
Well, that's called compromise, ain't it? That's
oh yeah, if you can compromise without sacrificing.
Yeah, it's called a compromise. It's called a compromise. I mean, you know, we can reach a comfortable medium. That's not hard to do. But if we're only wanting to stand where we want to stand and we don't want to compromise at all, then you know that's just a problem within itself.
Right.
You know, I can say being a guy that was, you know, used to going and doing and being my own man, as it were, and then, you know, finding a relationship with someone I wanted to be in a relationship with and doing every single thing with that person, it's totally different, man. You know, you have to compromise a lot, you know. And
yeah.
I will say that I do feel that, on one hand, some women compromise more than men. I said some, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like I said, 25% of men, this is a subjective judgment of mine, 25% of men are not good relationship material. They'll tear apart a great relationship. You can have the combination of Mother Teresa and whoever the sexiest actress that a person likes, put them together, and a guy will fuck it up. But more women will fuck up a good relationship than a guy will. And that question that you asked Dr. Congress about if a man and woman are getting along together, isn't that boring? Good question. She said, nah, she wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I like to find out in real life, you know,
I mean,
if she ever found
I mean, and you know what, JoJo, I, you know, every time you ask that question, I think about it more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really depends on the age of the woman. I really do
believe
that.
Yeah, I think a younger woman will actually seek out ways to try to find drama than a woman who's over 40, because a woman over 40, she's slowing down. She wants it better than the younger chick. But before you get to be a woman over 40, you're in your teens, you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, and you're making life rough for the guy who wants harmony during those ages as well.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, we got another caller coming in.
Okay.
870, welcome to the show. Can we get your name, please?
Yeah, this is Vernon. What's going on, my man?
All right, what's up, Vernon?
Oh, nothing. I just in here listening to y'all. I think age has a lot to do with the kind of situation which Joe was talking about. You know, that plays a big part in. Because if you get with somebody and they, you know, most of the time when a person becomes bored in a relationship, 9 times out of 10, you know, if he's the perfect guy for her, you know, and she ends up not happy, 9 times out of 10, he almost going to be putting more in it than she is. So, I mean, if you notice you putting more in it than the other person is, I mean, that's almost a cue for you to just get on. You probably need to let that person go up, sit down, talk to them. If don't nothing change, and it's time to roll out, man. You know, that's my take on it.
You know what? I'll agree to that. And hey, what's going on, cuz? Hey, that's my cousin. I'll go ahead and play. That's my first.
What's going on, cuz? Cuz, hey, cuz. Y'all gotta forgive me, cuz You know what I'm doing today, baby.
Yes, absolutely. We are. I can imagine.
Handle it. But you know what? The thing is, if you have someone that's not willing to go and think about what they say before they say it, and you have a person that's not willing to consider the other person's feelings, then it's not going to work. And I remember a song this rapper came out with years ago, and he said, did you love him or are you used to him? And, you know, some people, they get so tied up in being used to dealing with the same person, regardless to all the red flags out there and all the red herring, say, hey, this is not where you are supposed to be. You shouldn't be here anymore. Okay, you came, you tried, and this is not where you should be. You know, you get some people that get stuck, and they compromise their own comfort for a state of, complacency. And that happens to some people. And normally by the time they decide that it's time for them to get out, they are so bitter towards anyone and everybody else that no one will come along and be good enough. That's just my take.
Okay. Wow. That makes sense. Joe, you got anything to say?
No. I mean, he's basically right. Somebody, you know, if you're waiting for the perfect person, I guess, you know, depending upon your definition of what perfection is, but that depends upon your expectations again. Men don't have that high of a bar when it comes to expectations, especially when it's compared to what women want. So most of the time, men are putting in a lot of energy because, remember, we're conditioned to try to please the chick.
Mm-hmm.
We are conditioned to,
yeah, that's true, man.
I mean, if there's a gap in the conversation, who tries to fill it in? The guy.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, I remember once I was just sitting there, and it was me and my wife, and we were talking, and then all of a sudden the conversation fell off, and I was thinking that I needed to pick it up and carry it somewhere else, you know, just to keep it going. And when I finally realized, I said, you know what? If there's nothing to say, there's no need in trying to fill a gap. You know, just let it flow as it is. You know, everybody's enjoying everything, and leave it as it is. You know, but we do feel that we have to go above and beyond. You know,
absolutely.
And sometimes it's a downfall, and some women actually don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not many. I know where you're going, Joe. It's not many.
You know, for me, I would just like it when you know you're in a harmonious relationship, when you can just cuddle up on the couch or watch TV together or do anything together, or turn the TV off, turn the radio off, and just stay there and just hold each other and not say a goddamn word. That's when you know you've got part of the components, when you know that you've got somebody. Because
I agree.
But here's the question to that. How long does it take to get to that point in a relationship? You know, that's one thing you have to. How long does it take? And what has that couple been through to get to that point?
It takes a lot. But see, in theory, I mean, there shouldn't be hardly any problems whatsoever in a relationship. Because as I've always mentioned with my description of, if you've got a guy that's good looking, the girl is good looking, they like each other's looks, so already they got the chemistry. So now they get together, they talk, they like each other's conversation, they respect each other's opinions. Maybe they don't agree, but they respect each other's opinions. They respect each other. They're good in bed, okay? Now, they have a little bit of emotional baggage, you know, from past relationships, which are contaminating the current relationship. But if you've got some trust there and you're willing to stay together for a little while, then you can work over that particular emotional baggage. So now, you've got somebody you respect, somebody whose looks you like, you got the chemistry, you're good in bed. What the fuck else do people need? Yet they keep fucking up the relationship. And I keep saying it's the chick that does it way more often than the guy. And I keep saying that because a guy feels he has to fill in the gap. He has to feel like he has to entertain. He's the one that's got to do the repairs. He has the role that he's putting himself in, and which the girl encourages, the male role. All you got to do is just respect each other understand, you have to have morality, in other words. You have to have integrity. If you don't have that particular willingness to please the other person, it's going nowhere.
Eric, you going to give him an applause?
Oh, yeah, I need to give him an applause on that one. You're right, because I was agreeing with that.
You
was reading my mind.
Wait a minute, I got applause today? What happened?
Oh, yeah, so you know you were lying earlier when you said you never had
to clap. Ah, please. When did I ever get applause? Jeez, all I ever get is joke. Joke. Self-joke.
Oh, man. Well, you know,
you get applause every now and then. Quit playing.
Yeah, I have heard that myself. But, yeah, man, that's
real
talk.
Look, Joe, at least you don't get this one here.
Yeah, that's a good one to have. Yeah, all I need is that. Joe. Wah, wah, wah.
Hey, cuz, you're going to have to let me meet Eric, man. I have to meet Eric, man. Hey, you hear me, Low?
Yeah, I got you, man. Hey, I've already said that, you know, it's Mardi Gras, and, hey, everybody was invited, but, you know, he got so much going on with the show and everything. He can't get with me, so, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. I mean, I can go, don't get me wrong, I can go mobile, but I got to drag so much stuff with me. And I'm like, okay. You know, plus, my child's birthday this week, so I can't do too much.
Oh, happy birthday to him.
Yeah.
In fact,
I need to get off here because he got a birthday party in about an hour.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
but anyway, go ahead.
That was a hell of an answer, man. That was a hell of an answer. You know, everything has to be a compromise, and I said it before. Everyone has to know what part in this equation they're supposed to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was the first to say and to tell anybody, if you're a real man, you understand where I'm coming from. When someone calls your house, or if something happens, let's just say something happens at your house as far as, let's say your house gets repossessed. Automatically, anyone that's on the outside looking in is going to say, I cannot believe he stood up there and let his house get repossessed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not taking all of it off the woman, but it's just saying that, hey, you know, I listened to the show the other day. I'm coming from the aspect of a biblical aspect. A man has dominion over all of this, and not in a way or a sense that's being domineering or anything like that, but he has dominion over all of this. Everything works well if a man understands his responsibilities and he does, in fact, help guide other people to understand what their responsibilities are.
But that's something that was embedded in us from the beginning of time. You know, that's kind of been a role. And, you know, you can try to change it, but at some point it's going to come back up. You know, I believe that.
Yeah. I believe that one myself. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right, gentlemen. Go ahead, Vernon.
No, I heard you say, ask Joe a while ago, you know what's about a time frame, when you know that you're at that point, you know, where you can just sit there and not say anything and,
mm-hmm.
and just embrace each other. You know, there's not a time. You can't put a time frame on, you know, when you're in a relationship. You know, you get to put a time frame on, you know, when you're going to do this, when you're going to do that, when you're going to get married and all that stuff. You know, you're putting pressure to the situation. It just, you know, it's just something that's going to happen. You let it happen. And, you know, that's just how it is. You know, you can't put a time frame on that kind of stuff like that. Maybe how long you're going to deal with something, but you can't put a time frame on the way things happen.
Thank you. Now, see, you said something there. Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, how long you want to deal with something. If you can realize that something that you think in the beginning was real bad isn't really not that bad, hey, you got to have the battle beat right there. You see? And then you get to Joe's side of the world where everything becomes simple. You know?
Everything should be. I mean, yeah, what Vern is talking about is a tolerance level. How much are you going to tolerate of somebody? I mean,
right.
If you have a woman who's 10%, I won't say bad, but say annoying, and 90% great, take that woman. But if she's like 50% highly annoying and 50%, you know, okay, throw the bitch out. You don't have to tolerate that shit.
That'll pull
okay.
up Pull All out right. the blood pressure for you.
In great words.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus Christ. I don't want my blood pressure rising. Get the fuck out. Yeah.
Oh, have mercy. I don't know. In the great words of a bluesman, sometimes it's just cheaper to keep a Joe.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know. Well.
Okay. Yeah, but, yeah.
And then they die, and then the woman becomes a widower. She's saying, yippee.
Absolutely. That happens too.
But yet he's free. But yet he is free, right?
Yeah, she's free, right? He's free.
I say
yeah.
he's free.
Oh, yeah, he's finally free. Yeah.
Hey, you know,
you better get ready for that party, Eric.
Yeah, I know, man. I got to get up out of here. All right, Vernon, go on to your last few words of for still Monday.
Oh, I'm done, man. Y'all go ahead. I'm good.
All right. Thanks, man. All right, Lo.
Hell of a show. Great show. I actually had forgotten, and I just checked my Facebook page and saw you on there. But great show. Hey, man, keep it up. I encourage you to continue driving on forward with your passion. And, hey, bro, I'm enjoying it. I really am. So carry on with your passion, bro.
Thanks, and I appreciate your support.
Yeah,
man.
Have a good weekend, Lo. You too, Vernon.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Joe.
No, just I just want the doctor to call in, so that's it. Letter,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna have some other guests on too, so
that means I got to be on good behavior.
No, I mean, you know what, Joe? Here's the thing. You know, you can ask all the questions you want. I just don't want like it was last night. You
well,
know,
last
what I mean?
Night was
just totally
me and
chaotic. Yeah, just totally chaotic.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm trying to take the show to another level, and, you know,
right.
we got to get a little bit better on what we do. So that's all.
Yeah,
see, like
will be, you know, there will be controversial questions, because the questions
yeah,
you
yeah.
asked today were good. But, I, you know, when they give answers that I don't like or the rest of the callers don't like,
mm-hmm.
We're going to have to respond to that. And there are
right.
times, you know, when.
But you know, it, mm-hmm. it just can't get chaotic. That's all I'm saying. You know, everybody calling each other names, and we nowhere near the topic because everybody want to insult each other. See, that's got to go. That's all I'm saying, Joe.
Oh, shit. Damn, sometimes
I mean,
chaos is good.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I understand sometimes it's going to happen, but not a whole show full of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Well, I'll see you Monday.
All right, have a good weekend, and happy birthday to your son.
All right, thanks.
Hey, take care.
All right. All right, y'all. Once again, I want to thank y'all for listening to a special edition of Let's Talk today. I also want to thank Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress for joining us. And don't forget to check out her book and go to her website at www.drvivimonroecongress.com. Okay? And you'll find out all about her book there. All right, y'all. Well, until then, enjoy the rest of the weekend. Spend time with that family, because I'm sure going to spend time with my little knucklehead. And just let them know you love them, you care about them, and, hey, do what you got to do. All right? Until Monday, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, Open Mic Monday, I'm out of here. Let's talk.